Alligators.
What, did you forget about me?
I could never forget about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
So did your...
wild evening that we spent together? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that was you. Oops, sorry.
Did your customer end up buying?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, I wheel and deal.
I'm sure.
How's everything going for you? Good?
Yeah, not bad. Is it still, like, you guys still have a lot of people trying to sell gold, or is that kind of like...
Yep. Nope. Mm-hmm. Gold's 2,700. People are still selling gold. Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Jeez.
Yep.
What's rhodium at?
Yeah.
That's got to be, like, 30,000, isn't it?
No. I just went and looked at it. It was, like, three, like, four or five grand, if that.
No, which is the one that was... Is it palladium? Which one is the one that's really expensive that you need? You can only get the small little... You get... Was it? I thought it was rhodium or palladium or something. It's very expensive when you order it.
Well, rhodium, you get 1 gram of rhodium, it costs you, it was all the way up to $1,200 for 1 gram in the solution.
Yeah, that's
and
what
right
it was.
Now it's, probably right now it's down to about $600, but, so, you know, my stores, when I wanted something rhodium, they say, hey, you just went up on your prices. Well, this shit cost $400 just for the bottle. You know, once again, they think that you're going to do it for old prices.
Yeah.
I just had a story in here. When you called, I had a story in here. We were just talking about that, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, the owner of the store gets all bent out of shape when you send back a job, and it's $25. And they say, he charges $25 to do that? He says, I don't think that's bad. He says, no shit. I mean, they want me to work for, you know, price of gold when prices were at, like, $500 an ounce.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I know. But yeah,
bullshit with that, you know.
Well, I always ask my people if they, you know, up the price of their repairs and stuff to.
You have to.
I know.
You have to. It's stupid not to. You know what I mean? How can I stay in business if I stay at prices and fix the chain for $2 when everything's gone escalated that high? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
A jump ring, a 5mm jump ring from Stellar's right now, to buy it from them. 18 gauge is like $12-13.
Jesus.
So what am I supposed to do with that? And then I gotta put the solder the thing closed. Am I supposed to charge $15? Where am I making any money? You know. So if I'm doing for a store, well, I buy a wire from Hoover and Strong, you know that. So I get a little cheaper. But you know, I bend a 5mm jump ring. I get $15-16 just for the jump ring, and then I get another part for you know, putting some solder to close it. I mean. I'm here to make a living, not to give everything away, you know what I mean? I want to make those money, too. I don't. They're getting rich. Why can't I get a little bit of money, you know what I mean?
I know. That's the one thing, yeah. Cause, well, I don't know. Do they, like, well, not like the old days where you could keystone in 1 carat, but what do they do on a, like, half carat? They can probably still do 2 times, I would imagine.
Oh, I think so. Some of them are getting full keystone on stuff still. I mean, it depends on how gullible the customer. I mean, look at the K jewels and all. They're getting margins, big margins, you know?
Oh, sure they are.
But, you know, I think what happens, I personally think in this industry right now, if you're an independent store and, you know, people are buying from Hanoush or K's and they know they're marking the shit up, if you can sell for a little less than them, you got the customer, so you're still making a good living at it, you know? But, you know, people, it all depends. You know what I mean? It's Costco sells fucking diamonds now. You know, you got to deal with that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have one near you?
Yep, 2 of them.
Oh, my gosh. How far apart are they?
One's in Enfield, Connecticut. One's in West Springfield, Mass. So I can go to the one in West Springfield in about 5 minutes. Enfield, Connecticut, take me about 20 minutes.
Yeah, they saw, like, the VS. I know that my one jeweler always had a problem, like, competing with them for studs.
I got a, there's a BJ's, too, and they sell jewelry.
Did they really? Why would you buy jewelry at the same place you can buy groceries? I just never quite figured that out.
It's called convenience and a deal. People want a deal, they're going to buy it where they can get a deal. At least they think they're getting a deal. You know what I'm saying?
They're not, no. They're getting shit.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. You know, it's all in how you sell the shit.
I know.
It's all in how you market it, you know.
So what did you do over the weekend? I didn't see you. You never came up.
Well, I went flying.
Oh, you did? Actually, you went?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was working. Yep. And actually, he called me a little while ago to talk to me. Hold on 1 second. I just want to concentrate on this for a second.
No, you're fine.
Anyhow, I was working Saturday. I had a couple appointments. And he called me right around like 12:30, 12:45. And he says to me, he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "It's a beautiful day to go up in the plane." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I got a customer and I got another appointment." I says, "But I actually said, oh, I was thinking about it." And I said, "I would love to do it. But I says, you know, when are you going to go?" He says, "I'm going to be up there around 2:30. I says, "Well, let me see what I can do." And I said, "If I can get done early enough." He goes, "Yeah, call me and let me know and whatever." And he says, "And, you know, I'll wait for you." I said, "Okay, you know." I got done with my customer too. Called him up. I said, "I'm, you know, getting ready to leave." I says, "You know, are you up in the air?" He goes, "No." He says, I'm waiting for a fuel truck to show up. I need to, and he likes to carry like an extra hour's worth of fuel no matter what, you know. So just in case there's an issue or something, he's got extra gas, you know. So anyhow, he says, I'm waiting for a fuel truck, but by the time you get here, I should be ready to go. I said, "Okay." So I got on, drove up, got up there, got out, pulled in. Was at the wrong gate, but I pulled over to the other gate, walked in, and he says, "I'm waiting for it." He said, "I called the fuel truck at, you know, I got up there, it was like 20 minutes to 3. He says, "I called the fuel truck at 2 o'clock. He says, "It never takes this long." Well, 5 minutes go by, here comes the fuel truck. So they fill them up. So we start talking, and, you know, they get done. Now it's, you know, it's like 5 minutes to 3, almost 3 o'clock. And I said, "Well, how long are you?" And he said, "Well, I figured we'd go up to New Hampshire, have lunch or dinner and come back." And I says, I said to him, "Well," I said, "that sounds all fine, yes, but I'm a newbie." I said, "I've never been up before with you, you know, or anything in a small plane." I says, "You know, blah, blah, blah." So he says, "Okay." I says, "You know," I says, "and I like to be back by 4:30, 5 o'clock. He goes, "Okay, well, that might change plans." I said, "All right, whatever." He goes, "Whatever you want to do." He said, "If you want to turn around after a little while or whatever, no problem," he says. So I said, "All right." So, we finally get everything. He gets me into the seat. We start figuring everything out, and he's got to do a pre-flight check, and he does that. So he says, "Don't talk to me for, you know, a few minutes." And he goes through his pre-flight, excuse me, check, pre-flight. And he does all his shit, and then he says, "All right, we're good to go." So he radios the tower, and he says, you know, whatever his, you know, call number is and all that shit. And he goes, they said, proceed to runway, whatever, fucking. So we pull up, and we're sitting in a holding pattern on the side. Because, you know, they're telling you traffic or any planes are up in the air or whatever. And so he says, "All right, you can go. You're good to go, blah, blah, blah." He says, "Okay." So you have to do, before you even go get on the runway to take off, you have to do another little thing. You have to basically shut off, you know, push the motor throttle down and see if it stalls. And it takes, you know, like a second, 2 seconds. And if it stalls, that means you don't have enough fuel or you're burning to whatever. You know, it tells you all this shit. So he goes, it took a second. He goes, "Oh, we're good to go." I said, and he tells me, "This is why I do this, you know." I said, "Well, why do you do it?" He says, "Well, if we take off and as we're going, all of a sudden we stall, it's not a good thing." I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
So I says, "All right." He says, "All right, we're good to go." He says, "You know, this is whatever, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We take off." He goes, "The field is cleared." I mean, we're up. Took probably less than a minute to get up in the air.
Wow.
And he says, "I have to do what they call a flight pattern. We have to circle around. And then once you circle around, then you go, you know." So we get up in the air, and, you know, but I'm paying attention to time. And, you know, it was fucking cool. I mean, we go up, he banks, he says, "I'm banking left," he banks left, and he says, "We got to circle around." And he turns, and all of a sudden, I could feel the plane, like, you know, dropping. Well, we were hitting turbulence. And if he had told me this, I probably would have been a little more comfortable with it. But I was like, "Oh, my God, what the fuck was that?" You know, so anyhow, I looked at him and I says, "You know, I think I'm good right now." So we flew for about, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes, and he landed, no big deal, and we hung around for a little while, and then, you know, I cut out. And so now I'll tell you the reason why I had to do that. So that morning I got up and I was in and out of the bathroom constantly. I think I had some little intestinal something going on, and I had to keep going to the bathroom.
Oh,
and
man.
So when we got up into the plane, and of course we dropped a little bit, and it kind of spooked me. Of course, what happens? All of a sudden, you're like, "Oh my God!" So you know what? You know what was going on?
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? I gotta take a number two. And I told him, he called me today, and we were talking. I told him, he goes, I didn't know. He said, I wouldn't even have taken up if I'd known that. I said, well, I was doing good. He goes, yeah, but now I understand when we dropped a little bit how it spooked you a little bit. I said, yeah. I said, I didn't expect it. He goes, the higher we go up, you know, the air is better, so we won't have the turbulence. I goes, well, I want to go back up again. But, you know, I says, you know, he says, well, next time if you're not feeling good, just tell me. He says, you don't have to go. I said, I understand, but I thought I was good. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, I don't need you shitting into my freaking plane. I says, yeah, I understand. But it was cool. So anyhow, we got back down, brought it back in. I helped put the plane in the hangar, and then we wiped all the – he's got this solution, and he goes around on all the wings and all the parts and wipes any bugs off. You know, so we clean the whole plane, and he goes through his whole protocol, and we hung out for a little while. He goes, all right, you get a T-shirt. I'm like, what do you mean I get a T-shirt? He goes, anybody that goes up to the plane and flies, get a T-shirt. I said, you got to be kidding. He goes, no. So he says, what do you want? So he's literally got a bin, and he probably got 100 T-shirts in there. And I was like, and he gives me a Blue Angels T-shirt. And he goes, I want you to wear it to the gym tomorrow, which was Sunday, which I didn't because I went Saturday. But I wore it this morning. So I walked into the gym, and all the guys, these older guys are all busting my balls because when I walk in, I look like a slob. I got a ripped up sweatshirt on. I got T-shirts with holes in them, you know, and stuff like that. I don't care. I'm at the gym. So I got this shirt on, and they go, oh, he's got a new shirt on. Wow. What's on that? And he goes, oh, that, you know, Blue Angels. Wow, where'd you get that? And we're all sitting there talking, and all of a sudden one of the older guys, this guy, Mike, he's 75, and he looks at me and he goes, did you go up in Scott's plane with him? And I smiled. I said, you figured that out? He goes, holy shit, he went up with Scott flying. I'm like, yeah. He goes, holy shit. He says, wow. He says, then all these guys are all looking at me. He goes, you got big balls. He says, we would have never went up in that plane.
Really?
Why not? He says, it's a four seater. You know, it's not like a big jet.
Yeah, that would freak me out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't freaked out at all until I felt that little drop, like, and I was like, oh. And as soon as my head clicked, that I told Scott that, and he says, I understand. I says, you know, I could feel my insides going, you know, like oh boy, you know, but you know, it was more of a psychological thing. But anyhow, but they were like, you got to be careful. How was it? And I told them the same story I just told you. I said, it was really cool, you know. I'm looking forward to going up again. But and this time, you know, now that I know what's going to happen, no big deal, you know.
Sure,
but
yeah.
It was just cool. I mean, and it was just fun. And then, you know, it's a military base, and it's actually a public-private section to it where all these guys have their planes. So the jets, the F-15s flew in, and then, you know, they all use the same runways, you know, and once it's clear, they go up. I mean, it was just the coolest shit. I mean, but I was like, this is nice, you know what I mean? But I'll send you some pictures. He's gotten pictures of me standing next to the plane. He didn't send them to me, but I'll when I get them, I'll text him up
and
you'll see him. It's a cool looking plane. But, you got a picture of me sitting inside the cockpit, you know, with all the headgear on as we're flying. And, you know, I sent the picture to my good buddy. He goes, holy shit, you went up in a plane. I'm like, yeah. He said, how was it? I said, it was pretty cool, you know. But I wasn't touching anything. You know, I was like, I don't want to bump anything. I don't want to.
Yeah, right? I know.
You know? Yeah, but it was wicked cool. And it was fun.
So when you had
yesterday,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you had the headset on, do you hear him talking to the air traffic control and everything? So you're just like,
everything, yep.
Whoa.
Yep. And you don't say anything. And that's how him and I were talking to each other. And he says, how you doing? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good, right? I think, and he goes, you want to go back down? And I says, yeah. And he says, no problem. You know,
wow.
He said he didn't get into anything. And then when I got down, like I said, I never told him that I had been sick in the morning. And then when I told him a little while ago, he says, I wouldn't even have taken you up. He goes, I don't need you to be shitting into my friend. I says, I know, but I felt really good. But until we did that little, you know, turbulence thing, I said, I was good. And then I felt that. I was like, all of a sudden, my brain, I could hear my gut going, you know, it's like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know how long I could squeeze my cheeks together on that one.
Right?
But,
I know.
But it was cool. I mean, beautiful to be up there. I mean, the colors in the, you know, because it's all the trees are just starting to turn. Oh, it was really pretty.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. That probably
Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, I mean, it just looked like it was just pretty, you know. And it was a clear day, but, I mean, we're in a valley, and he said that's why once we got above the mountains and the valley, the air would cool right down. Because the air just comes rolling in different directions. I'm like, I don't know this shit. He knows all this. But this guy is anal. I mean, he goes to, before I got there, he did a pre-flight check to get the plane ready to go up. And then he, you know, did all the bullshit. And then when I got there, he goes through another pre-flight. And then we get there, and then we're gone, you know. And it's just, you know, he talks to you nice. And he's a nice guy. I mean, he's just a nice guy, you know. He's a very easygoing, calm, no pressure bullshit. Doesn't, you know, all right, no problem, you know. But his wife wasn't feeling good, and she goes, go flying. So he said, when she told me, I called you up, you know. So I said, well, you got me up after all of these months. He goes, yes, I did. You know, and I said, he just called me a little while ago. He was down in Boston. She was she's in a golf league, and they're doing a golf tournament. And he was with her, and he was sitting there waiting for her to be done. I said, well, you know, when are you going to be, oh, there it is. When are you going to be back? He says, I'll be back tonight. But he's certified for every, I mean, they have to do these certifications. I don't know if it's every once a year or twice a year. You have to do by yourself. You have to go up and do this. And then you go up at night, you fly at night, and you got to dock so many, like an hour, half hour in time to, you know, what they call touch and goes or something. So you go up, you come down, you go up and you come down.
Oh, my God, that would freak me out at night. God.
Yeah, well, I would mean, too, but, I mean, you know, if you're up, you don't see shit except for all the lights down below, you know?
I know,
but it was
exactly.
Cool. It was fun, I mean, you know, but then he said to me, so what'd you do Saturday night? Did you meet some hottie? And I was like, I said, no, and he says, what about that one that you say lives in my area? And I says, yeah, I started talking about this one, and I told him, I says, I don't want to say anything because I'm pretty sure you probably know her. And he goes, oh, all right. And I says, another friend of yours who owns a plane knows her very well. He goes, Tommy? I said, I didn't say that, you know. But, you know, I know he knows her too. So I started laughing. I'm like, ah, what the hell? You know, I'll let it slip a little bit because maybe he'll find some things out for me anyways, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like I say, he's a cool guy. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's very well off, and, you know, all he does, you know, basically is they have a place in Florida in a nice area, and nothing happened to it from the storm, and, you know, it goes back and forth. His wife's his parents live here in East Longmeadow by me, and they're older, and, you know, she told him, you know, when the time comes and they both go to that next life, he said, then they'll probably sell the house in Longmeadow, and they're talking about buying a house up in the Cape. Because she was married and lived in Falmouth, Mass for, you know, like 20 years, and it's a pretty area. And she said, we'll move down there, you know. But, you know, money isn't an issue. That's the point. I mean, you know, I don't know what it cost him to fill up the plane or what he had to put in it, but I guarantee it was at least $100 or better, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's got to be more expensive than what, well, don't they use the same kind of fuel for boats? They use airplane fuel for boats.
Some stuff, I guess. Certain kind of fuels. But, no, I don't know. I mean, I didn't get into all that stuff. But, you know, I finally did it. It was fun. You know, when the opportunity presents itself and I'm available, I think I could probably handle taking a nice, you know, hour flight with him someplace, you know. But it's a lot of fun. I could barely fit in when you see the picture of me, you'll say, holy shit, you are big, because I had to crawl, to get into the plane,
it's a small door, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to bend over, and then you got to basically put your ass onto the seat and kind of push yourself up and twist yourself into the plane, you know?
Oh, geez.
And then when you get in there, you're in there like a freaking sardine, and then he moved his up a little bit so I could put my hand behind. Hold on 1 second, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an interesting weekend, needless to say.
Yeah.
I took a nice ride on my motorcycle yesterday. It was awesome. My favorite place is closed for the season, so I didn't get to go all the way down there. But I stopped by and visited my buddy who passed away. One of my dear close friends, his wife stopped by there. She was out. She was like, oh, my God, you came by. And she had some people over to help. And they were like, oh, we heard all about you. I'm like, yeah. Did she tell you how she wants me in the sack? And they all started laughing. She goes, yeah, she said she'd love to spend a little night with you. And I said, Marie, I can't believe you're telling him this shit. You know? That's my girl, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got a beeper coming in. Go do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.